It's game day. And this is the home of Scottish football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good afternoon and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. As the big games just keep coming thick and fast, the Championship takes centre stage today with Partick Thistle against Livy, Ayr against Raith, and Queen's Park taking on Livingston. I've got Livingston in there twice. How did I manage that? New year, we're starting off slow on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Top Flight returns tomorrow. How will Rangers and Celtic react to their Old Firm meeting when they play Hibs and St Mirren? And the transfer window is open as teams start to plot their business. I'm Gordon Duncan, and joining me, three old faces, no new signings: Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans.
There is a distinct chill in the air and an unmissable frosty atmosphere, and that's just the Celtic dressing room after the Old Firm game. But today it's about the top of the Championship. Livy could go within 3 points of Falkirk at the top if they beat Queen's Park, or if they get the wrong sequence of results and they lose and A United win, A United could leapfrog Libby at the top. And Partick Thistle, a gradual climb up the table. They have a big game at home against lowly Dunfermline Athletic. They've got the retro strip. They're looking for a forward-looking result, though.
Yeah, a cold afternoon across the country, icy conditions, some games have already failed, but we've got good games across the Championship, and I'll start with my own employers, Partick Thistle. Hugh's right, wearing that special strip today with all the names embroidered into it, and they'll get a good crowd along there against the Dunfermline side, still looking for a manager, but a decent opportunity to make some ground in the leaders, Falkirk. Same goes for Ayr United, a good game against Raith Rovers. Barry Robson against Scott Brown, who would have seen that coming so soon. And Queen's Park versus Livy with a chance to consolidate second against a Queen's Park team who will make it difficult at Hampden.
Yeah, I agree with the lads. It's nice to give the Championship, the lower league, a little bit of you know, the spotlight, Gordon. There's a lot of good games on there. Okay, there's only three, but three very good games. I'm especially looking at, as Mark pointed out there, the Scott Brown, Barry Robson, Ayr United, Gordon DL, Raith Rovers. So I'm looking forward to that one.
The Gordon DL derby, of course. We do have one game off in that division as well. We thought we would have four matches for you, but only three. Morton Hamilton off icy conditions. An afternoon in the house for Fraser Wishart. But it's not just the Championship, we've got big stories developing everywhere. The Top Flight returns tomorrow. Can Rangers continue where they left off against Celtic, or will they be brought back down to earth? Can Celtic recover from dropped points? They don't have to do that very often. Big stories developing at the likes of Aberdeen and every other club you look at. So we'll preview tomorrow's action. The transfer window's open. We can start talking about various pieces of business, whether that be Kieran Tierney or someone else. It's New Year season on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. So join us all afternoon. You can join in on the show at Clyde SSB on Twitter. And of course, later on, the chance for you to have your say on the phones as well. We're here until 6 o'clock. We're back tomorrow. How much Hugh Keevans can you squeeze into one weekend? That is the question.
Well, it's a huge weekend for the Old Firm. All of the talking has to be done tomorrow by then. Rangers must be kicking themselves. St Mirren, Motherwell have arguably cost them the league, and they take care of Celtic comprehensively, but is it all in vain? And Celtic, the support, absolutely shocked, angered, outraged, devastated by the 3-0 defeat from Rangers, and they will be looking for a performance from Celtic against St Mirren tomorrow, or else. So what's going on? Jimmy Tilleen at Motherwell tomorrow. He can't possibly go 10 games without winning one for Aberdeen, or can he? And you've got Jim Goodwin, third top with Dundee United. What a story he is writing for himself at Tannadice, Mark.
Unbelievable. You know, went under the radar for so long, Hugh, up there. Just kept chipping away, reinvented his side, and now he's sitting in third position. He's done wonders at Tannadice. But what a week of football it's been, you know, since Thursday. Some of the results, we've got it again tomorrow, we've got the Championship today, games thick and fast, and then we will fall into a natural routine. We keep saying it, that this time of year is so important for teams, and it kind of gives you a snapshot of where teams are going to finish up in the table, and it's kind of panned out that way. And for Celtic and Rangers, for a game that you know, there's still 11 points between them, all you had to do was listen to this show last night to see what it really meant to the fans of both sides, that 3-0 victory for Rangers.
Yeah, I think the boys touch on tomorrow. I think we'll be looking forward to a lot of terrific fixtures, I've got to say. You always highlight the top with Celtic, Rangers, Dundee United, Aberdeen, and real poor form. But it must be, coming the time, it's a big game for St Johnstone. Down the bottom of the league, 5 points adrift. They're at home tomorrow against Dundee. And if they don't pick anything up, as early as we can say, I don't think there's any coming back.
Well, plenty to look forward to, and we are back tomorrow. A bumper edition of Clyde One Super Scoreboard for the Premiership action. We'll preview all of those games as the afternoon progresses. We'll ask for your thoughts on the phones as well. But let's get some team news from around the Championship ground, starting at Partick Thistle against Dunfermline. David Friel is there.
All this talk, Gordon, of ice and frost and snow, I think we should spare a thought for Dunfermline caretaker manager John McLaughlin. He's cancelled a holiday to Lanzarote to take charge of the Pals today. He should be sunning himself on a Canaries beach, but instead he's tackling ice at Mary Hill as Dunfermline continue talks with Kelty Hearts manager Michael Tidzer. He's our number one target. It's getting closer, but it's not done yet. So John and his family have had to cancel their trip to Lanzarote. I spoke to him yesterday for a piece in Today's Scottish Sun, and he played down the whole holiday thing, says he can go on holiday anytime. And he also told me this will be a really special day for him at Firhill. He worked with Celtic for a long, long time, Livingston, Hearts, various other clubs before taking on an academy role at Dunfermline. But he also had a stint as part of a Partick Thistle caretaker managerial team alongside the great John Lambie exactly 20 years ago. It was a festive period again, 2004 into 2005. They had three games in charge. One was against Falkirk at Firhill. He tells me John Lambie wrote the team in the back of a fag packet, told him to take the warm-up. They won 2-1 that night against Falkirk, so I think John will be hoping that's a lucky omen for him today, and he needs it, certainly, because Dunfermline, as you were saying, they're lowly. They start the day in 9th, and they've been really poor in the road. They've taken just 1 point from 27 away from home in the Championship, and they'll be up against a Thistle team who haven't lost at home in the league since March. Thistle inside did lose 2-1 at Morton on Hogmanay, but they're only 4 points off second right now. They're looking to put some pressure on Ayr and Livingston, and maybe Falkirk in front of them, and this is a good chance to get back in track. They've already beaten Dunfermline twice, 1-0 this season. However, Partick have suffered a blow before the game. Watford have recalled their keeper Miles Roberts from his loan spell. He's been outstanding for Thistle, probably the player of the year so far, and I'm told that Ross County are among the Premiership clubs chasing him. Watford are probably going to send him out on loan to a higher level, so David Mitchell returns to the Partick Thistle team today. I'll just run through the teams for you. So as I said, Partick Thistle line-up: David Mitchell in goals, Kanaya Megwa, Lee Ashcroft, Dan O'Reilly and Charlie Sayers at the back. Kyle Turner and Stuart Bannigan will anchor the midfield, with Logan Chalmers, Scott Robinson, Aidan Fitzpatrick in behind Brian Graham. Subs for Thistle are Cameron Lawless, Crawford Smith, Ablade Macbeth, Stanway Dyack and Faulkner. As for Dunfermline, Kane Ritchie Hosler is back in for Josh Cooper after that 3-3 draw with Falkirk last Friday night. So they'll line up Toby Ulawemi in goals, Alan Comrie, Tom Fogarty, Kyle Benedictus and Kieran Nguenya at the back. Matty Todd, Chris Hamilton, Ewan Otto and Kane Ritchie Hosler in midfield, with Chris Kane and Lewis McCann up front. Subs for Dunfermline are Mehmet, Chalmers, Fisher, Wallerspoon, Clay, Sutherland, Cooper, Mabudi and Young. And the referee at Firhill is Stephen Kitland, where Partick Thistle will be wearing that retro strip.
Yes, a commemorative 1970s nostalgia inspired. That's right up your street, Hugh. Red and yellow, yeah. Vertical stripes, reminiscent of the strips worn during Bertie Auld's era at the club, apparently. You happy with that?
That was a time when they were proper football strips. None of your advertising all over it, names and all the rest of it. Proper football strips, and we Bertie would have loved it all.
Hold on a minute, Hugh. What league was the strip I played? I played in that with Bertie Auld. Very old shiny me.
Well, there you go. Right, it could be a, it's lovely. It could be it inspired by nice. You.
Oh, I didn't shoot that.
Yep, members of the foundation, their names embroidered into strip. Really right. Nice.
I tell you what, Bertie's office after the game, that was the place to be.
Bertie was the best character I've ever been in a dressing room with.
Yeah.
team talk. He never done his team talk. He used to get Mick Jackson to read the team out.
Yeah.
And you talk about John Lambie. I love John Lambie. The back of a flag paper. I remember Bertie, I think we were playing Falkirk at Firhill, and Bertie says to Jacko, read out the team. Reads out the team, and everybody's looking at each other. He'd only picked 10 guys. Right. And he just turned round, and it was the days you could smoke inside and everything. He had the biggest cigar in the world. I think he still had his Lisbon Lion jacket on, I've got to say. And he turned round and he went, listen, son, just you stick a pair of boots on.
I was there the night after a game. Bertie's office was, for the press, magnificent. And we were there for so long, and there came the front door, and it was the police. And Bertie went out and said, officers, private party. And he said, Bertie, couldn't care less. You've left the floodlights on. The aeroplanes don't know whether to land at Firhill or Glasgow Airport.
That is a blow the mark. On a more serious note, the goalkeeper, Miles Roberts, did read that this morning, recalled by his parent club, Watford, and potentially off to Ross County.
Well, he's been outstanding for Thistle this season. He established as number one when David Mitchell got injured early on the season. And as things go, Mason McCreary, who was then number two, is away and was let go to America. And David Mitchell's just back fit. So a real blow. He's right back in. Young Lewis Carman on the bench as well. But that's a blow for Chris Doolan, because Roberts was such a good performer this season.
Do you get one of these commemorative strips as an employee of the club?
I'll be asking. I certainly will be. Do you want one, actually?
I'll give
with
you
DL,
one.
What was your number at Thistle?
13.
14. I can't remember. 8, 9, 10.
DL, 8 in the back. I'm sure the commercial team will sort it.
You were only there for a few weeks, were you not?
Hold on, we talked about this before. He played more for Thistle, did you not, than you did for Rangers, was it?
Yeah, he doesn't like it when you mention that, though.
No, then that's lies.
Well, that's what Wikipedia says.
Well, speaking of the career of Gordon Dale, let's go to the Gordon Dale derby. Ayr United against Raith Rovers, and Roger Hanna's there. Or is he? Let's try Queen's Park Livingston first with Andrew McLean.
Yeah, two teams here who have been used to losing really over this Christmas period. We'll be hoping to get back to winning ways at the start of a brand new year. Queen's Park trying to knock on the door of those playoff spots, but just one win in their last six league games, not helping their case whatsoever. What also won't help their cause is Celtic recalling defender Dane Murray. The youngster's been a really good addition on loan for them in the first half of this season, but with Stephen Welsh looking like he's heading out on loan from Celtic, Murray's been drafted back in by Brendan Rodgers to help their numbers at the back and also meet European homegrown criteria. So that's going to have to be one that Callum Davidson's going to work out in the coming weeks, and surely they will make an addition in the window to try and make up for that, because he had been a big, big player for them, as I say, in the first half of this season. You look at Livingston, they've lost their last two, and they find themselves 6 points behind league leaders Falkirk. They played the same number of games as Falkirk, but they'll hope to put a bit of pressure on after Falkirk's match last night was postponed. But as Hugh alluded to earlier, they'll also be looking over their shoulders as well. They'll look to try and get those 3 points on the board so the teams behind can't catch up to them. They've also signed Robbie Fraser on loan from Rangers yesterday. He came on in Thursday 3-0 win for Rangers against Celtic. You remember at Ibrox, he also came on in that 1-0 draw with Tottenham earlier on in the campaign. He's straight into the squad, but just on the bench for the visitors today. For the home side, two changes. Murray and Scott drop out. Oyder and Fieldson come in. So Callum Ferry in goal. The back four, Zach Mockin, Will Tizard, Nico Oyder and Henry Fieldson. Jack Thompson and Sean Welsh, the two sitting midfielders. Jack Turner, Dom Thomas and Louis Longridge in behind Zach Rudd in the substitutes. Wells, Scott, Thompson, McLeish, Hines, Duncan, Droz, Hickey Vigacha and McGinley. For the away side, they make four changes.
Well, we had Andrew McLean for a bit. That's better than
nice.
Normal. We're improving.
It's
there must be cold. The cold temperatures.
Yeah.
I suppose that piece of team news, Mark, will be of interest to Celtic fans as well. Dane Murray recalled by Celtic away from Queen's Park. I know there's a potential chain there. Does Stephen Welsh leave? Is it simply to tick a box? You know, that homegrown quota.
Well, it certainly looks like it. I think, like, if you're Stephen Welsh, you need to go and play football. So I totally understand that. And it's just unfortunate, I think, with Murray, that he's playing football in a competitive league and he's going to develop that way. It kind of stunts his development a bit, in my opinion, just coming back and sitting on the bench or sitting in the stand. But I guess it's you know, clubs try to manage their squads for.
Do you not look at it in a positive way that Dean Murray's getting the chance to perhaps break through at Celtic? By all accounts, he's been Queen's Park's best player this season.
No, I don't think he will here. I really don't, and I mean that in the greatest respect to him. I think he's just there to fill a quota, and that's a shame. And it just goes with the rules that are involved in but squads and homegrown.
You've got
players.
To get Welsh out to play. You've signed him on a 4-year contract or something. He's on a long term contract. You can't just keep him sitting there. If you look across the city, King's another one. You know, you look at Rangers, makeshift back four on Thursday. He's a centre half. He's not even involved in it. So these guys, as much as I've got good talent, you get good talent because you're either at Rangers or Celtic. You're signed because you're a good player, but you've got to go out and play.
But there's a space at Celtic because, according to the callers, the Super Scoreboard, Thursday, Friday, Liam Scales must never wear the jersey again.
Yeah, but you disagreed with that. So there are three at least ahead of him. And then that's before you get to push came to shove. Would Mike Navrotsky play? And who knows? There's a number in there. Let's try Andrew McLean again. I think we got partially through the team news, Andrew.
Yeah, I'll just give you a recap of those teams. Callum Ferry in goal for Queen's Park today. It will be Zach Mockin, Will Tizard, Nico Oyder and Henry Fieldson across the back line. Jack Thompson and Sean Wells, the sitting midfielders. Jack Turner, Dom Thomas and Louis Longridge behind Zach Rudden, the lone striker. The substitutes, Will, Scott, Thompson, McLeish, Hines, Duncan, Draws, Hickey Vicaccia and McGinley. For the visitors, four changes for them. Finlayson, McAleer, Muirhead and the injured Tete Yenge drop out. In come Wilson, Brandon Smith and Montano. So it's Jerome Pryor and goal for them. Michael Nottingham, Danny Wilson, Ryan McGowan and Matthew Clark make up the back four. It's Scott Pittman, Jamie Brandon and Stephen Kelly in midfield. Lewis Smith and Christian Montano either side of Stevie May. The substitutes, Pitaluga, Jackson, McAleer, Winter, Green, Finlayson, Shinney, Muirhead and Robbie Fraser, as I mentioned, who signed on loan from Rangers yesterday. The referee at the National Stadium is Peter Stewart.
Let's try Roger Hanna at Somerset Park.
Well, you call it the Gordon Dale Derby. I think we need to call it the meeting of Mark Wilson's former teammate Scott Brown versus Barry Robson here this afternoon. Gordon, two former Celtic and Scotland teammates and Aberdeen coaches squaring up for the first time in the dugout. Brown has led United to third place in the Championship with four wins and a draw from his last six games, and they could go within 4 points of leaders Falkirk with a win today after the Bairns game at Airdrie was called off last night. Robson becomes Wraith's fourth gaffer of the campaign after Ian Murray, Neil Collins and caretaker John Potter. Potter was in charge when Wraith lost here at the end of August in the league. Collins was in charge when they lost here in the SPFL Trust Trophy, but Collins did get a mark of revenge when Lewis Jameson's double gave Rovers a 2-0 win at Starks Park against the Honest Men in November. And now Robson has signed a 2.5-year deal in midweek and takes charge of Wraith, comfortable in sixth place, 8 points above five rivals Dunfermline in that relegation playoff place. Ayr, they're unchanged from the 0-0 draw with Morton last Saturday. Means it's Harry Stone in goal, back three, George Stanger, Mikey Devlin, Scott McMahon. Across the middle, Nick McAllister, Conor McLennan, Ben Dempsey, Jamie Murphy and Patrick Redding. And up top, Jay Henderson and George Oakley. On the bench, Much, Watchett, Howley, McKenzie, Hislop, Hasty and Craig. That means injuries to Marco Roos and Roy Silla rule them out. And Alfie Bavage has been recalled by Aberdeen and sent out to Cali Thistle for the second half of the season. Robson makes one change and it's an enforced one in midfield from the side that beat...
Nearly there for Roger Hanna. Should we be celebrating these things? Probably not. But anyway, let's pause for contemplation, because at this stage on a Saturday, we always look back on the week's biggest talking points, and we'll do that next.
Action as it happens, and your reaction from five on the open line. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hugh Keevans, Mark Wilson and Gordon Dale in the studio. We've got the top team around the grounds. Three championship games on offer for you this afternoon. And of course, plenty more to come in the way of previewing tomorrow's Premiership action and looking back the way, as we often do at this stage on a Saturday. Once we've got the team news, we tend to look back on the week's biggest talking points. And there is only one place to start, Hugh Keevans.
Yeah, it's that Rangers 3-0 win over Celtic. And I think the reaction on Super Scoreboard Thursday, immediately after the game, last night, tells you that the Celtic supporters have been outraged by their team's performance and by the nature of the defeat at Ibrox. The Rangers supporters, on the other hand, ecstatic. They feel that they have started to get Celtic's number. Now, what's at stake here is the Championship. Celtic have an 11-point lead. They have a goal difference which makes it effectively 12 points. They are now expected to respond to the thumping they took from Rangers and make sure they don't do further damage in the title race, because that would be unthinkable from the supporters' perspective. We had one caller last night, and it shows you that the degree to which this programme attracts all listeners of all ages. 95-year-old Frank called in last night, Celtic supporter, and he said that he's seen it all before. These things happen. Over the course of a season, these things happen. And I think he's right. I think what happened to Celtic, they were well beaten, trounced by a team who had far more endeavour, far more passion, flair about them than Celtic possessed, and were unlucky only to win 3-0. But Celtic now have to put their foot back on the accelerator, starting with St Mirren tomorrow. And before then, Rangers' obligation is to beat Hibs at Easter Road and reduce Celtic's lead to 8 points and see if that unnerves Celtic in any way. So tomorrow, fascinating.
What have you made of the reaction, the fallout, the days that have passed since Roger Hannah?
Hugh knocked it on the head on Thursday when he described the fixture before kick-off as a separate life form. Never has a truer word been spoken. But if Celtic fans are angry, then they've only been angry once this season. Rangers fans should probably be more angry, because Celtic supporters have only seen their team underperform once. It was a spectacular underperformance at Ibrox on Thursday afternoon, but Rangers have seen that team underperform 7 times in the league this season. They've lost at Celtic Park, they've lost at Aberdeen, they've lost at St Mirren, they've lost at Kilmarnock, they've drawn 3 games as well to fall 11 points off the pace. And Rangers fans should be more angry by the fact that they've seen in the game on Thursday, the game against Tottenham, the 6-0 against Kilmarnock, the heights that this team can reach when they play well. And they'll be furious that they haven't reached those heights more often. And they'll be concerned that away games against Hibernian tomorrow and Dundee on Thursday night, they might dip down again. It's now up to Philip Clement to ensure there are no more slumps from this Rangers team. They have set a standard, they need to keep to it.
David Friel, what's your take on the days that have passed and the things that have been said and the way the country's reacting to this?
Gordon, there's always going to be a reaction. Look, everything went wrong for Celtic, everything went right for Rangers. You know, Rangers deserve immense praise for how they played. You know, for me it was the best performance of Philippe Clement's reign. I think it was probably the worst Celtic performance of Brendan Rodgers' tour reign. So look, there's going to be a backlash, there's going to be reaction in both ways. I think for Rangers fans, I think most in the main aren't getting too carried away. You know, as a one-off game, I think it gave them a bit of hope for the future, but huge games coming up at Dens and Hibs. As for Celtic, look, I get that people will start to ask questions about certain areas in the team and where they need more, and probably a bit of, you know, did the edge come off Celtic in the game? You know, did they maybe go there a bit complacent, or did they have the same fight and desire that Rangers showed? Obviously it probably did mean more to Rangers in the points gap in terms of the table, but Brendan Rodgers won't panic. I don't think it's going to change much in terms of his plans going forward. And I think Celtic, as Hugh said earlier, just have to bounce back tomorrow. But Rangers do have a chance to put a little bit of pressure on Celtic when they go to Hibs first.
Yeah, maybe to just make Clyde One Super Scoreboard the barometer for a second, Mark, even in this place of madness where we hear pretty much every possible opinion you could imagine. Not yet heard anyone say that this is the turning of the tide in a title race or whatever. Maybe that shows the size of the gap, just in case anyone was in any doubt.
Yeah, look, there's been big points gaps before and they've been made up. I know that, I've been part of that, but I think at this period in January, it's maybe a little too late for that. As well, when you assess the squads and the consistency of both, then that's why I don't think anyone from a Rangers perspective is getting carried away and thinking this is the start of a title charge. And the same with Celtic, that there's not much concern from Celtic fans about giving up the league. It's more about the fixture, like Hugh says, and how poor the performance was, and signalling out individuals within that. I think some of the criticism has been harsh in terms of players who shouldn't play for the club again. I think some of the
criticism sound extreme when you say it like that.
I mean, amazing when you think some of these players, the success they've brought the club and the part that they've played and bringing success year after year to the club, and to have a game like they did or an off day, it's acceptable. And same with the Rangers fans in terms of their players, they're well aware that they were on form on the day, on song, every one of them. But the guys are right. The frustration from their side is that where have these performances been? And can they take it into Hibs and Dundee? Because that's been their downfall all season.
When Rangers lost to Celtic in the Cup Final, I got a text sent to me by, I will say, a board member at one of the clubs. And he was talking about the aftermath, and he said that, you know, you have to allow for emotional reactions and irrationalities. Those were his words, emotional reactions and irrationalities. And we have had that in spades since Thursday afternoon here on the programme, because, you know, the treatment of Liam Scales by the Celtic supporters has been nonsensical, given that he had, you know, a poor game, undoubtedly a poor game, his worst game in a Celtic jersey. But to come out with this nonsense about must never play for the club again, I mean, have a think about it.
In fairness, just quickly on that though, Gordon, some people might use extreme language. I mean, that not necessarily to take away from people who are wording it slightly different and saying they think Austin Trusty should now be the first choice centre back. You know, that kind of the same thing. It's the same sentiment. Yes, people are going to say it in a knee jerk sort of Twitter style language, but maybe that's just what they mean.
Yeah, I think it's because Trusty's obviously been brought in for the big money. But let's get back to the Cup Final when we sat at Hampden, and Trusty for 45 minutes was dreadful coming forward with the ball. Brendan Rodgers makes that substitution. Celtic go on and win the League Cup. I think Celtic fans are a little bit unfair on their side. I know the anger against Rangers, and because it's Rangers, Celtic fans thought that, you know, the team was good enough just to turn up every time they play Rangers and win. All credit to Rangers. On the day, I thought they were absolutely brilliant, and well done to their manager as well. It was a big, big day for him. A lot of pressure on him. He went in with a back four that had never played together. He went in with a goalkeeper playing his second game. So all of a sudden, he got everything out of Rangers. Celtic, you look at, they've won the League Cup. They're sitting in a great position in Europe. They've lost one game, and their fans are on absolutely giving them what for. But I'm delighted for Rangers in the sense that now we've got a bit of competition. I don't think Rangers got to win the league. Not a chance. I'm not saying that. But Rangers now, every time they play Celtic, and Celtic play Rangers, they believe they can beat each other.
Yeah, I mean, Roger, is there a case to say that this is or could be the start of something for Rangers? We always said it has to start somewhere, and in terms of this rivalry, it has to start by being able to win a head-to-head game, one head-to-head game, turn that into two or three. And you, as Hugh Keevan's saying goes about, the Rangers manager can't be the Rangers manager if he can't beat Celtic. You'll never win a title if you're unable to beat your big rival. So can this be the start? Is this maybe the first one? Is that the way the optimists would see it?
Well, listen, I'd be reticent to say that, simply because, Gordon, you've seen false dawns from this Philip Clement side before. You know, they did play well against Tottenham. They did play well and were very unfortunate in the Premier Sports Cup final against Celtic. There have been some highs, like the 6-0 against Kilmarnock. I think it was a 6-0 against Ross County at Hampden earlier in the season. And the optimists thought they would kick on and backed them to kick on, and then they just let the optimists down again with, you know, miserable results and performances. If they can go to Easter Road and Dens in the next 5 days and come away with 6 points, then I would be more inclined to agree with you and say it could have been a turning point for Philip Clement and Rangers, but they've still got to go and do that.
Can he, will he keep elements of that team?
What he should do tomorrow is play the team that started against Celtic. Make no changes, have them all in, because they have created an atmosphere around the team, around the club, and they deserve the chance to go in again. And I think there's validity in what you say, Gordon, because over the space of 3 weeks, Rangers have scored 6 goals against Celtic. And I do take on board the point about St Mirren and Motherwell and losing to Kilmarnock, losing to Aberdeen, and now can't beat anybody at all. But I think there's validity in your argument because of the number of goals they've scored against Celtic in a short space of time. I'm not saying this season. I am assuredly not saying this season, because they've shot themselves in the foot too often, and they're now paying the price for it.
I think that's it's an interesting argument you say there, Hugh, because I think in the olden days we'd all say the same. Look, You've claimed the jersey. You kept Celtic there at bay, clean sheet, which is very difficult to do. You took the pressure on board. You got the result. You've played very well. But sometimes you can get caught up in that. And now, if you look at, if Suter, for instance, who I think Rangers' best centre half, was fit, are you going to put him in tomorrow or are you going to leave him out? If Balogun was fit, the two of them together are the best two centre halves, right? But you look at Thursday's performance, you look at a clean sheet, you look at Yilmaz at right back. I thought Rangers were terrific. I think sometimes as a manager, and this is where I think guys like Sir Alex Ferguson became such top, top managers, they play what's right for the team going to, for instance, here Easter Road. You're going to an informed Hibs. Hibs are probably in the best sort of a, you know, form of their season. The manager's just picked up manager of the month. It's got to be a it's got to be hostile through there. I'm not saying you're wrong. What I'm saying is I think it's a very interesting situation that he's got.
Understand that the Suter, the argument for Balogun, etc, etc, but Suter's nowhere near playing because of injury. Balogun's the same.
He's just a symbol though. Take the right back as an example then. Does Yilmaz just play right back every game from now until the end of the season?
I don't think he plays right back every game, but I think it would be madness to change from Thursday purely because the position Philippe Clement's put himself in before with this whole rotation stuff. Now he's got a formula, and his standout result as Rangers manager, the fans are lauding praise on him. Now if he has to go and change, I say a Tavernier coming back in who's returned to fitness and he is the captain, and he goes in and he has a poor game, Philippe Clement opens himself up for so much criticism. Again, Yilmaz, Rangers had 24, was it 24 attempts on Celtic's goal?
And Yilmaz had 25.
By the way, not far away. So why would you break up something?
Is there an argument then, Mark, that Kelly is the number one goalkeeper at Rangers just now?
The point is, they have created such an optimistic mood by wiping the floor with Celtic. Why change anything? Just take advantage of that mood. Send them all in again. No one's denying that Butland is still the number one goalkeeper. No one's denying that there'll be those who want Tavernier back in the team, and Suter and Balogun. But in the quick turnaround which Rangers have, I think it'd be madness to change from Thursday to Sunday when they've just done what they've done.
Yeah, but I think Gordon's wider point is they then play again midweek. So at what point do you do it?
I think opportunities will present itself after that. But I agree with you on this one. When you've got a feel-good factor about what's just happened and the odds were stacked against you, but your individuals performed so well, and it's square pegs and round holes, albeit, but they still performed, and you got something good going for you. I think, again, it'd be crazy to change that now against Dundee on the Thursday, or even whoever they play at Ibrox the following week. Then perhaps there'll be opportunities to get one or two of your squad back in. But instantly, if you rotate your squad again and everybody's fit, this is assuming everybody that played on Thursday's fit, then I think you leave yourself open for further criticism. And I still think he's not out of the woods yet, Philippe Clement. I think if he got beat against Celtic on Thursday, he would have lost his job. He wouldn't be in the dugout at Easter Road. I think he still needs to win at Easter Road and beat Dundee to still get a wee bit of more credit in the bank.
Okay, final thoughts before we look forward again from you all. Roger Hannah, how would you draw a line under this one if we ever do move on from these things?
Well, I think Rangers will only be able to draw a line under it if they can kick on from here and get points. You know, they've got three games in the next 8 days. I've mentioned two away games. I think it's St Johnstone at Ibrox next Sunday, Gordon. If they can emerge from that with 9 points, they can look upon that Old Firm win perhaps as the start of something monumental for Philippe Clement. Celtic, very easy to draw a line under it. They lost two games in all competitions in the calendar year of 2024. After Dortmund in the Champions League, I think they went 18 unbeaten. They will look to draw a line under it starting tomorrow against St Mirren and go on another lengthy unbeaten run, and they'll be buoyed by the fact they've still got that 11 point gap at the top.
David?
Yeah, pretty simple, Gordon. Both need to win tomorrow, that's it. I don't think Rangers can afford to drop points, and likewise Celtic need to show reaction. The fans will be expecting that tomorrow, so maximum points required by both.
I give you the words of my new hero, 95 year old Frank, who on the programme last night said if Celtic fail to win the title this season, they will never be forgiven.
Somebody on the show old enough to be Hugh Keevan's father. That's the way you'll think about that.
Sure is.
Quite incredible. Go on then, give us your words of wisdom. Any new philosophy for you in the new year? I know you're fond of a nice inspirational quote.
Yeah, I'm going, and I hope everybody listens to this and goes down the same. I'm going very healthy for a new year.
He's gave up everything.
What kind of quote is that?
I'm not giving a quote yet.
Right, we'll get to New Year's resolutions.
You can't take the wild out the beer, but you can't take the beer out of the wild. How's that?
Your final thoughts on Thursday's game, Mark?
Thursday's game, a sharp reminder that in these games anything can happen, that Rangers are obviously the second best team in Scotland, so it was always going to present a challenge for Celtic. Just a wee jab for Brendan Rodgers' side. Big games coming round the corner for them in Europe and domestically, so nothing's a foregone conclusion when it comes to these fixtures.
Plenty to look forward to. Of course, we'll take your calls. We'll preview the rest of tomorrow's fixtures as well. But in the meantime, back around the grounds ahead of Saturday's action next.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Gordon DL, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans in the studio. Plenty more to come between now and 6 o'clock. We can talk transfers, we can talk tomorrow's Premiership action. I'm sure Thursday's game at Ibrox will come up again. I'll maybe get New Year's resolutions off you three. I wonder what Scottish football should have its New Year's resolution list. What about one for your team as well? Maybe we could get that up and running after 3 o'clock. But we've got business to take care of first. So let's go back around the grounds. Thistle against Dunfermline. And David Friel, Gordon DL shaking his head in disgust when you mentioned that John McLaughlin, the interim Dunfermline manager, put off his holiday to take the team. You just wouldn't do that, would you?
Absolutely
You're
not.
You're just off to the sunshine.
I would be well away.
But Michael Tidzer, David, the new Dunfermline manager, according to reports, is that something you expect to happen soon, currently at Kelty, but crucially not in charge of Kelty today?
Yeah, he's not in charge of Kelty today. I think what's complicating matters is that he's also a player at Kelty, so I think there's a bit of haggling going on over compensation in terms of, are you paying for a manager, are you paying for a player and a manager? But look, everything's agreed from that side. He wants to go. Kelty are going to allow him to go eventually, I would imagine. They're already speaking to Charlie Mulgrew about that job, apparently. So, yeah, it will happen. But for the moment, John McLaughlin is taking charge. I see him out there. He's not even getting an assistant manager. It's just him that's doing everything. He's out there coaching the defence right now, doing the usual drills, the high balls, etc. So, yeah, look, a big game for him. Obviously, a big game for Patrick Thistle. We spoke at Mel Roberts and how big a blow it is. But up the other end, Gordon Brian Graham just seems to get better and better with age. I mean, he's now on 93 Partick Thistle goals, I make it 37, he's got 6 in his last 6, and I think he's chasing that 100 mark, and I dare say he'll get it over the next couple of weeks and months. So yeah, big game for both clubs today, but I do fully expect Thistle to win this one.
Yeah, looking forward to that one for sure. Speaking of managers then, I mean, Roger Hanna, Barry Robson's an interesting case study, because we went through a spell there, didn't we, in the top flight, where Stephen Naismith, and it's his first job, is a massive club at Hearts, and Barry Robson, first job, a massive club at Aberdeen. And you sometimes wonder what comes next. Where do you go from there if your first job is such a big club? So we've got the answer in Barry Robson's case.
Yes, we do, and he's already had a bit of a problem in his opening days with Rovers managers. He's lost experienced centre-half Paul Hanlon. He's pulled up with a hamstring injury in the warm-up here at Somerset Park this afternoon. So Callum Fordyce is stepping off the bench into the central of defence. He's already lost Ross Matthews from the side of Beat Levy last week. Sam Stanton coming in for him. So Barry Robson will know these things happen. He's an experienced coach, a highly rated coach. He worked behind the scenes at Aberdeen for a long time before he was promoted as caretaker manager last season. And manager last season, of course, Gordon. So he's been looking to get back in. He's got this opportunity with Rovers, and he was looking to get one over and his old pal Scott Brown. I know you lost me during the teams. I can just give you the teams again here, Gordon. Here I've got Harry Stone in goal. At the back, George Stanger, Mikey Devlin and Scott McMahon. Across the middle, Nick McAllister, Conor McLennan, Ben Dempsey, Jamie Murphy and Patrick Edding. And up top, it's Jay Henderson with George Oakley on the bench. Much, Watchred, Howley, McKenzie, Hislop, Hastie and Craig. Wraith, it's Kevin Dabrowski in goal. Kieran Freeman, Ewan Murray, now Callum Fordyce and Liam Dick. Across the middle, Aidan Connolly, Sam Stanton, Sean Byrne and Lewis.
They just don't want you to read out the teams, Roger. Just take the hint. It's fine when you're chatting about the game the other day and you're talking about Barry Robson. They just don't want to hear the teams for some reason. I don't know who has got it in for the members of the playing squads of either Ayr or Raith Rovers, but we got most of it from Roger Hannah. An old teammate of yours, Mark Wilson, Barry Robson, back in the dugout. Like we said, it is just that intriguing path. Once the big jobs come around first, it's always an interesting place to start, because then it's so unforgiving. Barry Robson will tell you, I'm sure, that he did a good job initially at Aberdeen, and then when it inevitably goes wrong and you get sacked like everybody does, you're then on the scrap heap.
Yeah. And he said those exact words to me, Gordon. We were playing in the Masters just last month, and I asked Barry, I said, What you looking to do now? Are you looking to go back into youth coaching, because he'd done such a good job at Aberdeen before they took the job, or are you staying first team? He says, definitely first team, I'm on the lookout. But he stated the good job, like Barry does. He's a good character, that he's quick to back himself, and that's a good thing. He rhymed off all the good stuff he did at Aberdeen, and there was an awful lot of good stuff he did at Aberdeen. But young Scottish managers, if they get the sack, that's quickly forgotten about, and it's sometimes hard to get back in the merry-go-round. But he's back in. He'll have high standards. He's not scared to tell the players exactly what he thinks. That'll be a good one today between those two.
I think that could be a good appointment. I really do. I think that obviously the Aberdeen job's very difficult. You're under pressure day in, day out. I think you've got a lot more time to work out what he wants to do at Raith Rovers, put his ideas over, get the right players in. Barry's just the same as everybody else. If you ever want to know about my career, just sit next to me.
Well, I was going to say, it's an interesting question really for the people of Kirkcaldy. Who is the most confident, self-assured manager you've ever had? If Mark's telling us that Barry Robson backs himself,
you're a notch above. I'll tell you that.
Barry's not even in my league.
The answer's Jimmy Nicol.
You could throw that name into the mix as well. But yeah, the Barry Robson era at Starks Park, going to be an interesting one down at Gordon Deal's other former club, of course, Somerset Park, for Ayr United against Raith Rovers today. What about at the National Stadium, Andrew McLean? He's no daft, is he? He picks where everybody goes on a Saturday. He's got the nice cushy five star facilities at Queen's Park against Livy. Big incentive for Livy, Andrew, trying to close that gap on Falkirk, who of course didn't play last night due to the weather.
Yeah, a huge incentive, and just interesting to see what's happening at Livingston as well, because when they get relegated, I think quite a few people thought that they might go the way of Hamilton, and we might not see them back in the top flight again, or certainly anytime soon. You know, question marks over just what they would look like going forward. But David Martindale, he's so experienced. We know how they set up. He maybe feels that they didn't get the credit sometimes for how they played on the ball in the Premiership. He was constantly fighting fires, wasn't he? Eventually it proved too much last season. But you then look at the team that he's built to try and get back up to the Premiership. Stevie May, Ryan McGowan, Stephen Kelly is still there as well, who's a player that you may have thought might have been picked up by a Premiership club or another club. Danny Wilson is in there as well. So there is plenty of Premiership experience, a squad that's capable.
Tough shift this, Hugh. Tough shift.
Is it climate change?
It's 5-3 and I'm tearing my hair out already. That's not a good sign.
Keep it
until 6 o'clock.
Just chat to us. We'll tell you everything you need to know.
Back tomorrow as well. David Martindale, on you go. Livy, take it away. Somebody, before I lose the will
to
live.
David Martindale, I think, had a mission in mind. When Livy were relegated, there was much speculation. He was wanted by St Johnson as manager, if you recall. But he said, no, I want to stay, I want to bring them back up again. And to be honest, I thought, nah, they're in a kind of downward spiral for me, Libby. But to his eternal credit, they're there and they are very much in the promotion race. Falkirk aren't over the line or anything like it yet. So I fancy Davy Martindale to beat Queen's Park today.
I tell you who's a good appointment for Davy Martindale. He's number two, because he's had so many number twos. Brian Rice went from Awa, who he was managing, went to Livy, and I thought, wow, that's quite an odd one, going from management into being a number two. But I think that's helped stabilise the club. I'll eat humble pie about Livy, because I had them for falling again, like Andrew was saying, and just being like a Hamilton Accies. But I really think that was an important one, along with those experienced players, and they're right in the mix just now.
Did you just seriously rhyme off all the good assistant managers Livy have had and leave out Big Martin?
Oh, Martin. Of course, I left Martin. Sorry,
can't he leave poor. It to dodge him?
That's poor from you.
I'll be getting bashed.
He'll be furious. He'll be absolutely furious. But I suppose the Falkirk story has allowed Livy to go under the radar a bit, Gordon. I'm now not convinced they are going under the radar because people keep saying they're going under the radar. But obviously, a chance to land a nice step today with Falkirk not being in action.
Yeah, it's a good opportunity for him. But he's got to take the opportunity because you look at that Falkirk team, everybody compliments them in the style of football John McGlynn's got them playing. And they've got some real decent players in there. So you can't see them coming off the pace too much for Livy to make mistakes and then obviously play catch-up. Livy have got to keep that pressure on, got to keep in the heels of Falkirk. And if they can do that, then it's up to them when they come to the heads-to-head as well.
You actually forget there was a championship game in Hogmanay, don't you? Exactly. Look at the faces.
Was it 3-3 game?
No.
Was that before then? It was Thistle Morton, of course.
Must be one of the worst scheduled Thistle games Morton. Of football ever. Yeah. I won't name him because it's unfair. I spoke to someone well known in Scottish football, well known in the punditry game, should definitely know these things. And I said, "Oh, what about the game at Hogmanay?" And he said, "What game?" Morton, Partick Thistle. What was the score?
Do you know? Listen, you should name and shame him over the radio. What was the score?
It's 2-1 Morton. 2-1 last Morton. Minute winner for Morton, unfortunately, for Thistle.
Sir Alex, as St Mirren manager, came to Clydebank Christmas Day, played the game on Christmas Day, and 10,000 people there on Christmas Day.
Seriously?
Yeah.
It's just a different time.
Good effort. Good effort. Anyway, that's the scene set ahead of the 3 o'clock games. Plenty to get our teeth into. Let's see what Gordon Dale, Mark Wilson and Hugh Keevans can come up with. We'll be back for the action to begin after these.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson, Hugh Keevans and Gordon Dale in the studio. 3 o'clock games in the Championship and beyond getting underway. So stay in touch all afternoon if you can on Twitter at Clyde SSB. We'll preview tomorrow's action. We'll take phone calls later. And I've got plenty for you to get involved with on social media as well. In the meantime, what does your ACCA look like, Hugh Keevans? Even you three, with your shambolically low standards, can surely cobble together 3 championship games and predict them accurately. Go for it.
Home win Bruny for Ayr United against Raith. Home win Partick Thistle against Dunfermline. And away win Davy Martindale at Queen's Park.
Ayr United to win, Partick Thistle to win, draw between Queen's Park and Livy.
I'll go sit on the fence, draw Ayr United Raith. Partick to win and Livy to win.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. Planning your holiday? Get essential health advice and medication before you travel.
That is it. We're up and running. We don't have any top flight action in Scotland. We did, of course, in England earlier, and more to come. Tottenham. Ange Ball is fairly deflated these days. Lost 2-1 at home to Newcastle in the early match. If there's anything of note, usually with a Scottish slant on it from down there, we'll keep you up to speed with that as the afternoon progresses as well. Here's one for you on Twitter out there. It is, of course, New Year resolution season, so it got me thinking, which is always dangerous, and particularly on a quiet Saturday where we like to get you involved. Can you tell us what should your team's New Year's resolution be? Doesn't matter who you support, Rangers, Celtic, Motherwell, St Mirren, Hibs, Hearts, Kilmarnock, anywhere down the pyramid, what should your team's New Year's resolution be? And what should Scottish football's New Year's resolution be? Give us all your suggestions. The wackier the better, the funnier the better. We can go serious, we can go tongue in cheek, we can go mildly abusive, I guess, without being too unfair. What should your team's New Year's resolution be? And what should Scottish football's New Year's resolution be? You big into that stuff? I mean, you've had a fair few New Year's to resolute.
Absolutely. You know, tomorrow is to the very day 55 years since I started in this business.
There we go. Happy
January 5, 1970. Wow. 55 years.
Congratulations. Well done, Hugh. Well, congratulate you tomorrow. We're here with you as well.
But the New Year's resolution for me, with regard to the game, there was some serious stuff going on the last few weeks with regard to antisocial behaviour. We've got to nip this in the bud. Rangers and the Police Scotland are now investigating what took place with Arnott Engels and Brendan Rodgers. You've got Jim Goodwin having a bottle thrown at him at the Dundee East Aberdeen game. We've got to sort this out. And I do have sympathy with the clubs, because how do you stop people from throwing coins other than trying to appeal for sanity? But we've got to address the fact that antisocial behaviour is on the rise.
Scottish football's New Year's resolution should be stop chucking stuff, says Hugh Keevans. I don't mind that. I mean, I'm hoping as the afternoon progresses we'll get some funny ones and some wacky ones, but by all means keep them serious as well. So there's a starter for Hugh Keevans, and we've got one of these with M&D Green Pharmacy. Got two of these. The championship is delivering. It is seeing its moment to shine, and it is taking it. Ayr United 1, Raith Rovers 0. Less than 2 minutes on the clock, George Oakley putting Ayr United in front. A bad start for Barry Robson down there at Somerset. And it's 1-0 to Dunfermline at Firhill. Partick Thistle 0, Dunfermline 1. It is a cracking volley from Lewis McCann. It sort of bends into the far corner. The ball just drops them, whacks it first time. And a brilliant start there for John McLaughlin, the man who should be on the beach instead of at Firhill. Well, in the Dunfermline dugout,
he gave up Puerto del Carmen for Partick del Thistle, and he's doing well.
I didn't know he was at Thistle all those years ago. It was an interesting story when I was reading it today, that he took interim charge. We came up against each other this season, me and John McLaughlin.
Okay, tell us the score, come on.
Oh, I didn't know what to say, but I mean, I've seen his team off 4-0. But
brilliant for him and delighted for him, over the moon. It doesn't impress me much, but I'd be sitting on a beach sunning myself right now, because you ain't getting the job, are you? So what's the point even going there? You're not getting the job. So
I hope that Michael Tidzer keeps him about and keeps him involved, like he was with James McPake.
That's probably sorted out anyway. So
you think so?
Yeah, of course it is.
Anyway, a blistering start from Dunfermline and from Ayr United. We are asking you on Twitter at Clyde SSB, what should your club's New Year's resolution be for 2025? And what resolution have you got for Scottish football as a whole? Hugh Keevan says on the wider point, stop chucking things at players. Seems quite simple, I have to say, but easier said than done for a lot of people, unfortunately. So I don't mind that. Are you too big on New Year's resolutions? You strike me as a man that's got quite a few regrets in your life that you want to try
millions of regrets.
And do you use January the 1st to do that, or is that just Monday for you?
No, from January the 1st he's got millions of regrets.
I certainly can't sing I've no regrets.
Hold on a minute here.
It's all happening. Flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. It's much better than listening to Gordon DL's New Year's resolution, I have to say. But Partick Thistle are level. It's Logan Chalmers. It's a great move. It is a nice low finish. Keeper maybe could do better. Goes through him. Thistle are level. We have a game on our hands, a serious game on our hands at Firhill.
He's a man in form just now. He started the season slowly. I think there was high hopes for Logan Chalmers come to Partick after what he's achieved before, but I think lack of form. I think he's just had a new baby as well, but banging form now.
Brilliant, good start. Okay, are you big on New Year's resolutions?
Now I am, yeah.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
This is the first year.
This is the one I'm really going to stick to, and I'm going for
it. Well, listen, tens of thousands of your adoring listeners are on the edge of their seats, so this is serious. This is accountability, because whatever you say, everyone can hold you to it. So what is it for
just
this year?
It's just a health kick I'm going on.
Right, okay. Basic, don't mind it.
Yeah, I like a wee glass of red on a Saturday night. I'm giving that up. I'm going
totally
in, totally for. I'm doing it to Christmas.
Well, I mean, this is a long time.
This is great news for Mark Wilson and myself, because a listener, a very kind listener by the name of James, arrived this morning with beers.
I know,
and
a bottle of red wine. I've given up too early.
So the presenter of the programme is teetotal. You've given it up for a year.
Maybe I'll start it.
Great resolution, mate.
Swap with him.
Aye.
No.
And you take up his drink allocation.
You do not want to get into my life. Let me tell you. What you're doing, just you stay where
so
you
seriously,
are.
You're going complete.
I'm going,
alcohol free for 2025.
Yes, and I'm going healthy as I possibly can and get myself right. And when you get to a certain age, your pennies go to drop somewhere, isn't it? You've got to say,
no.
What sort of life? I've got a great saying, you can't stop the waves, but you can learn how to surf. So that's what I'm going to do.
Magnificent.
I like it.
That's one of your better ones. New Year's saying.
You can't stop the waves, but you can learn how to surf.
I'm getting that on a plaque above my door.
JK
in my kitchen.
Rowling, eat your heart out.
That's amazing.
So,
eh?
So you are going alcohol free for the year. Any from you that you'd like to share?
Maybe just done the fitness, just lose a bit of weight again. I'm boring. What else do you do? Because you know what, see all this, I'm going to give up beer, or I'm going to give up chocolate, or I love all that stuff, so why would I get up?
That's the point, isn't it? You're trying to make a commitment.
Just be nicer to people. That kind of stuff. Give more time to charity. You can do a bit
there
of that.
Go. That's a good one for you. Aye. Do more for charity. Aye. Right, okay, I like that. You going to do that with him?
No, I've got enough in my plate.
He's got himself on his
Listen,
plate.
I'm going
about.
To go home every night and lock myself in now for a full year. Nobody's ever going to see
me. Oh, by the
way,
I've got a freebie a night out. Actually, next week. Everything paid for.
You
up for it?
Nope.
Oh, good. I was trying to tempt him there. You see what I was doing?
Tell you what, I actually worried that you two had perhaps had a falling out.
Why?
Because news reached me over the festive period, right? I mean, think about this for a second.
Oh, I've had a falling out, but it wasn't.
Not you. If you wanted advice on writing a newspaper column, you'd go to Hugh Keevans or Roger Hanna, wouldn't
yes.
you?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
If you wanted advice on football or trade unions, you'd go to Fraser Wisher. You wanted advice on DJing, you'd go to George Bowie, right?
I know where you're going, miss.
Mark Wilson gets engaged on Christmas Eve and doesn't even ask you for your words of wisdom.
No wonder, because he embarrassed me as a friend. How he went about it. No romance whatsoever. Took the poor girl up a hill. Raining, soaking, damp, freezing. Gets down in one knee, can hardly get back up because of the state of them. And he's come back engaged. So, but the big
imagine
quit.
Not asking you your
well,
thoughts.
Well, I did. No. And I did the opposite of everything he told me. He told me to
Bible.
Take her to like a little chef and just do it without a ring in that. And I did the romantic
I've
thing.
I've got the book, How to Lose a Wife. He wants to keep a wife. But I've got to say, the big thing is going to happen, right? Who's his best man going to be?
It's got to be you.
Well, you know what? It might be this year, the big day. And I want a best man there that's maybe a bit lubricated and, you know, well oiled and can relax
his New Year's resolution.
But you're off the baby. So.
On behalf of Mark and his ex-wife, what will happen in the next 10 minutes after my speech? I'd like to congratulate them.
When they fancy you standing up there.
I'd be fantastic, mate.
So there we go. We're asking for your New Year's resolution for your team. And for Scottish football, get them over to us. Hugh Keevans, we've got some quizzing as always during the games.
The first half teaser.
With the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
Simple as can be. We're focusing on the Championship this afternoon on the programme. Tell me the last six managers to win the Championship in Scotland. Just that simple. Tell me the last six managers to win the Scottish Championship.
I like it. At Clyde SSB, it is a race as well. So get your tweets down and over to us at Clyde SSB. You need to try and do it quicker than everyone else. And your time has started. So let's get stuck in on that. If you don't think you know all six, by all means, just throw some names at us and we'll try and figure it out together. But that is your first half teaser. It should be very straightforward for you. Let's see how many people can get it. Right, so which hill were you up when you decided
Connick Hill, Gordon, because, you know, that held a bit of significance for us and we had a big challenge this year, obviously with Kilimanjaro, but so traced it back to where it all started.
Could you not engage there?
Where, Kilimanjaro? No, I didn't want to take the ring all the way to Africa.
No.
Just in case. We had too much luggage and stuff and moving about. No, I would have panicked.
By
the way, I was panicking going up Connick Hill.
Were you protective of the ring?
Always. You've always got to be.
I can't help. I don't know.
Why can you not laugh?
I've got a sore face.
But a facial reconstruction there over the festive period.
You've had more rings than the Olympic flag.
I could have gravel and borrow one. Goal flashes.
with M&D Green Pharmacy.
Bet Barry Robson's buzzing to be back in management. Air United 2, Raith Rovers 0. It's George Oakley again. A header from a corner. Reading shot deflected behind by Stanton for said corner. And then George Oakley, Air 2, Raith Rovers 0.
You'll be out of job before Neil Critchley.
Oh, he won't take that well. Non Barry. Half-time team talk will be interesting. But I don't think Hanlon, you know, falling at the side just beforehand has helped his case, because George Oakley is a handful when you've got your strongest team there. Ah, slow start for him.
Mind you, not a slow start for the championship, because we're raining goals. That's great.
Yeah, I mean, Queen's Park actually the better side at Hampden against Livy, but no chances yet. But we've got goals in the other two matches, so plenty going on there to keep you entertained. And we've got your first half teaser that's up and running, both having a go in David Friel's game at Firhill. Arbroath 1, Alloa 0. What a story Arbroath is. Bottom of League 1 when Colin Hamilton and David Gold took over, and now flying up the top. Gavin Riley has scored after 13 minutes in that one. Did you just say you had a sore face? Because what is that? I didn't want to pry, but what?
I got a sore cheek.
What is that on the side of your face? It looks like two big
You've got butterfly stitches on the side.
Yeah, I've had a wee bit.
Oh, don't tell me. You've not started your...
Oh, that's my New Year's resolution.
Have you started your cosmetic work?
Yeah.
You're joking.
Paul at Merchant City's looking after me.
Is that what that is on the side of your cheeks?
Just a little bit there, just to take that eyebrow up a little bit.
You're kidding, seriously?
Yeah. So it's what happened with the procedure.
As if you look at him now, his face is like a lot less expression on it.
He says he
can't even.
I wish this was in the live stream to see this.
Yeah.
So what happened to put things in just by the sides of your ears and pulled
my
it up?
Cheek, yeah.
So you had the side of your face pulled up?
The cheek bit, yeah.
You're joking.
No, I had
62
to.
Years of age.
Yeah.
Well, you might need it. You know, but the rough period.
When people say new year, new me, I don't think they mean new face.
Oh, well, everything's gone new.
And what's happening with the head? Is that getting the hair?
Oh, that's same. I might go February for that.
So do the face first. Yeah,
everything's getting done.
Hugh, you've been on the show a long time. Yeah. Has it ever plunged to the depths of one of your pundits getting cosmetic surgery on his face?
I've never known a man in the studio who was finding it difficult to speak, laugh, or move his head. He looks like Quasimodo.
For everyone listening out there, I'm nodding yes and no.
You spoke about it often enough, but I didn't actually think you would go through with the face stuff.
By the way, the hair one is a bit concerning. You're in there for about 9 hours.
We need to get Shane in there with the camera.
Yeah, I'm sure they're going to. Yeah,
listeners would all love to see that.
I expected the hair transplant. I'm very surprised that he's had whatever that has done to his face.
I had to get my cheek done. It was sticking out.
Wow. Yeah. Chelsea are one up. If you're keeping an eye on the English Premier League, Cole Palmer resists the temptation to say who else has scored. Crystal Palace.
Anyway, he's sweeping the country. Him, everybody's loving him. People are doing his celebration. Did you see the Ross County boy the other day? You know, it was a cross, and he's running away doing the Cole
Palmer.
That
was a bit bold from Noah Chilvers, wasn't it?
Oh man, that was he never meant that.
I mean, the conditions were horrendous at
Pittodrie
in the first half.
I cannot believe that continued. Obviously, the second half it got cleared off, but tough conditions.
You've got some shame if you score by accident like that.
No wonder Crystal Palace want Ben Doak. They're faltering and
yeah, what did you make of that? They're talking, you know, multi-million pound fees and Crystal Palace and others interested. He's obviously on loan at Middlesbrough, but then I think there is a suggestion that maybe Liverpool would want to hang on to him and see if they can give him a future there.
Well, why wouldn't you? You know, they took him from Celtic at the age of 17. He's clearly an outstanding talent. Mo Salah shows no inclination towards extending his contract with Liverpool. I'm not saying he's the automatic replacement for Mo Salah, but I'm saying I'd rather play for Liverpool than Crystal Palace, and I think Liverpool would be daft to let him go.
But do you know, I think he's got the taste of it now playing with Middlesbrough, and he looks at what he's achieved. He's in the Scotland squad. Everybody's talking about him being a big part of that. I agree, Hugh. Not him wanting to go and play with Crystal Palace. He's still in the Premier League. My problem was, why would Liverpool let a young talent like go at that sort of price down there? Because let's face it, to them that's nothing.
Yeah, I'm the same. I can understand him want to play and test himself week in, week out at the top level. And Palace, I think, is a very good club, but I'm with the guys in this one. If you invest into that young talent and you nurture him through, and you've obviously got a progression plan for him because you've put him out on loan after these injury concerns, you aren't just going to sell him unless it's an exceptional bid. Yeah.
It depends, though, because we just don't know exactly how Liverpool feel about it. Because let's be honest, not every loan spell is with a view to bringing you back. And, you know, you talk about a progression plan. There are loads of young players that once they go out on loan, actually, that's the beginning of the end of your spell at that club.
Well, maybe I wouldn't believe that was a case with Doak, but I know there are examples of that. But you see plenty that go to Scotland. You were just telling us one, the boy at Motherwell, Beerith.
Oh, Mika Beerith, yeah.
I mean, obviously he's going to be sold on, but it's just incredible what
you
a loan can do for you.
I remember him at Motherwell talking about Monaco and €20 million and all that sort of stuff.
It's amazing, eh?
Yeah, it just shows you how
league
change,
up here.
I suppose what I mean is, look, we all have incredibly high hopes for Ben Doak, but you wonder how Liverpool feel about it. I mean, you're looking at probably the English Premier League winners. Do they see it, or do they still think they're looking for that next?
Well,
step up.
If they're going to let Ben Doak go to Crystal Palace, it definitely tells you they think they're looking for that step up again. They want to kick on from that, because you don't let that talent go. He's went to Middlesbrough. He's got a good taste for it. He's doing particularly well. I'm a bit surprised. I think that as a young player, and after, look, you put him out to Middlesbrough to get the experience, to bring him on, make him better, all of a sudden he's in the Scotland team. I thought they'd at least bring him back and involve him, and then maybe 6 months or season later make that decision. But it's a strange one if they do let him go.
Well, we'll watch this space. It is that time of year. I'm sure there's some more moves we can talk about as the day progresses, but no more goals to tell you about in the Scottish Championship. Maybe a quick look at our topic on Twitter. We're asking you, what should your club's New Year's resolution be for 2025, and what about for the wider game in Scotland? What should Scottish football's New Year's resolution be? Alex says expand the leagues to 3 18 team leagues and get B teams in the pyramid the way Belgium, Portugal, Spain and the Netherlands, etc. all do.
No, not for me. The expansion of the league from 12 to 18 clubs doesn't mean that you improve the quality. We've got a league where too many are toiling in it already. And you know, you've got Aberdeen, who are in fourth place in our league, and they haven't won any of the last nine games. That's a quarter of the season.
Yeah, but that's because of how good they were at the start, though.
I think it's
just arithmetic.
You're just creating a dead middle of the league, and
I think that's certainly a legitimate concern, isn't it? It's the one you always hear. What about the counterpoint? Is, you know, playing the same playing teams four times is boring for people. That's what you hear, isn't it?
But not for all. You know, boring for some, but not for all. And I'd say the expansion of something doesn't mean the improvement of it.
You know what highlighted that this year? It's the way some of the fixtures fell. Is that Killian Dundee, and I'm sure Dundee United, they played each other really quickly, two or three times in quick succession because, you know, fixtures called off or fixtures moved around. And I looked at that, and that's just in the first part of the season, and went, that just does not sit right with me. I don't think it sit right with players and managers as well. I think there is a boredom within just playing the same teams four times around. I know the split's in there, and I quite like the split when it happens, when there is jeopardy there, when there's only a couple of points between, you know, fourth, fifth, sixth and seventh, and there's something in it in the last games. But I would be for extending our leagues.
You'll lose.
Many do you think to keep the standard? Because I think we've got a good league. I think the split, I like the split.
And this is before you even get to the fact that obviously TV deals tend to be built around four meetings.
Well, yeah. Sky Television will simply say, right, that's the end of the contract. Then go find yourself another, because they want four old firm games. Don't care about anything else.
So I don't think that's strictly true, but obviously it's the main
the argument
point.
What about the game a couple of weeks ago? If we're wanting the best product and the best fan base, and look at Dunfermline Falkirk, right? So there's two teams. Now, of course, if they came into an extended league just now, they would struggle. But give them 5 years with the fan base and a wee bit added revenue, their teams would be better. But could there still be a split in there that you could still get another Celtic Rangers game?
Can I just ask then why the latest figures show that more people per capita watch the Scottish Premiership than any other league in Europe?
Their crowds are up, Hugh.
Yeah.
Up. So massively.
Why?
Yeah, but we want those crowds. That's taken into consideration, surely. You know, some of these bigger crowds from your big teams below.
I think Hugh's general point in the Premiership. Is if it's not broke, don't fix it, sort of thing.
Yeah. I mean, the figures are there. We've had Neil Doncaster speak about it and how proud the SPFL are of that particular distinction. If you're in business and your business is booming, don't go expanding anything.
Well, the punters through the doors are, but maybe there would be a case to say you can market it better, sell it differently if it was a different size.
Exactly. Look, we are far from the completed version, and I'll use the analogy. Look at the darts. We were chatting about the darts. I mean, years ago, they had a product that maybe was just the same in terms of format, in terms of players throwing darts at a dartboard, but someone comes along and repackages it, remarkets it, sends it out, and now it's unmissable.
Allows everyone to get out of their heads drunk and partying. Yeah. Like, good for business.
Well, maybe not that, aye, because you'd still get the same idiots throwing things, and that would go against Hugh's
throwing
New
darts.
Year's. I definitely don't want to do that.
There you go, Alex. Look what you've started. That was Alex's New Year's resolution for Scottish football, was to expand.
Yeah, you've got people throwing darts. People,
right, I'll give you two. You can have a bit longer because you need longer to think. I want your New Year's resolution for Scottish football. You can sit on it.
Right, okay.
For a little bit and see what you think. Sandra says, don't know about a New Year's resolution, but this is my mantra for 2025. And already Sandra has got a sign on her fridge. She sent me a picture up on the fridge magnets, which says, you can't stop the waves, but you can learn how to swim. The Dazzler and a smiley face.
Brilliant.
Seriously, look at her fridge. There you go.
Oh, I like that. Look at the inspiration.
No,
she's going to take
wrong.
You can learn how to surf.
Oh, so it is. Come on,
come
Sandra.
Come on, Sandra.
It's surf, no,
you don't
swim.
Want to be swimming in the waves.
Oh,
he's
no,
creating. Aye. You always need a surfboard for protection. And you're
sure.
Cutting a bit with Dazzler.
I like it. I do.
Well,
like
I've
it.
I think I've got mines just now.
What, your New Year's resolution?
Well, I
for
hope for Scottish football. The old away percentage of fans.
I like it.
I think this something should be implemented that every club has to agree to, and we just get over this tit for tat stuff. You have to give a certain percentage of your seats to away fans.
Nice.
I don't know what that percentage is, though.
That's good. Goal flashes with
M&D Green Pharmacy. Get the stats books out. How does George Oakley's 26 minute hat trick look? How does that stack up to what's been done before? Because what a way to kick off the new year that is. Not if you are Barry Robson and you're taking charge of your new club, Raith Rovers. Ayr United are 3-0 up, and George Oakley has a hat-trick. It could be six with the way they're going about their business. It's a tap-in, this one, after Conor McLennan nodded down across. So this is a doing.
Well, it promises to be a doing. We'll see what happens. You know what happens when teams go in so far in front at half-time. Subconsciously, they switch off. But I'm sure that Scott Brown will be on and on at his players, because Libby are still goalless at Queen's Park, and Ayr United have the chance to leapfrog Libby. So for Barry Robson,
do you think somebody from the stands come down and says to Barry quietly, you know what happened to Ian Murray after the first game of the season?
Yeah. In all seriousness, he's obviously not going to take the blame for this, but will Barry kind of gauge a wee bit from his players, like who goes under in situations like this? Who's the one that stands up? He'll even get a feel for it in the dressing room. Who's going after each other? Who's your real leaders? So he'll need to take it as a learning experience.
I'd be saying to him, "How are you renting in Kirkcaldy or buying?"
Let me just—I'll clarify that renting problem.
Yeah, it's a dream start for Ayr United and a nightmare start for Barry Robson. So we're asking you, what is your New Year's resolution for your team and for Scottish football? Hugh Keevans wants Scottish football fans to stop throwing things. I think that seems fair. Mark Wilson wants proper away allocations. Don't mind it, we'll get Gordon Dales soon, and I want you to give me your specifics for your team as well. Oh, this reminds me.
Mm-hmm.
The illusion has absolutely been shattered.
Of what?
I was at the Dundee Derby.
Yeah.
You were all working in here.
Yes.
I met him.
Who?
Curious.
No.
Curious creatures.
Did you meet him?
I met him. I just can't believe he's a real guy.
Ah, he is.
Describe him as well.
What do you mean? Just a normal guy? I don't know. That's the worst bit about
Big,
it.
Big, wee, fat,
average,
ugly, skinny.
I had a hat on, couldn't really see. Freezing.
He's a good guy.
Curious. I can't believe it though. Like, you know that way I just wanted the illusion to just last forever. Just like some sort of mythical super scoreboard contributor. But I met him and he sent in some poetry.
And
for
who's
you.
It about?
It's about you, obviously. For the new year. I think I'm going to take your mic down because I don't want to know how you respond at the end of this. Some people will get the reference. Some people like Hugh Keevans probably won't, I hope. But anyway, the Dazzler's off the bevy. He's got a face that doesn't move. He's made some resolutions and he's in the new year groove. But he's not removed all vices, and I know this much is true because I saw him with some students in a queue for Bonnie Blue. Let's move on very quickly before I get us in any bother. At Clyde SSB, it does remain.
That's one of his biggest
ones. Does remain a family show, just for the avoidance
I'll
of doubt.
I'll tell you later, Hugh, what that means.
The first half teaser, Hugh, if you could please, if you could just remind us of the first half teaser.
Very, very simple. Can you tell me the last six managers to win the Scottish Championship? Simple as that.
Okay, let's see how you're getting on over there. I think most
of
you.
Be all right, aren't we?
I think it's quite a simple one. It's certainly a simple question. Let me see. That looks pretty good. Most of the people that are giving us the answers are not far off.
We're in, Gordon.
Really not far off at all.
We're like, okay. George Oakley, job done.
Let's just help people along the way if they're struggling. Greg's Gardens would like to suggest to you James McPake.
No.
Okay. Obviously, one of these guys might have done it more than...
Yep, that's correct.
Just to bear that in mind, no James McPake. Keep your guesses coming at Clyde SSB on the first half teaser. We are looking for your team's New Year's resolution and your resolution for Scottish football as a whole. Some good suggestions so far. Stop chucking stuff. Proper away allocations.
Yep.
We had expanded leagues from someone. I don't know if that's going to take off so quickly. A more team-specific one. Matondo says Rangers must improve in away games. Seems like a decent New Year's resolution.
Yeah, fair. Yeah.
Can they stick to it though? What's got more chance of happening? Rangers improving their away form or you sticking to your teetotal New Year's resolution?
My health care. Certain, so. I'm a certainty.
He's a new man. New man since,
would
since
that
we
be,
last seen him.
Would that be an obvious good one for Rangers in terms of a New Year's resolution?
Yeah, and it'll probably start tomorrow. A difficult game against Hibs, who are, we said it earlier.
I'm waiting on someone tweeting in saying stop rotating the team as per sports scientists. Since that's been all the rage.
Well, as Mark touched upon earlier on, if you beat Celtic 3-0 and then you tamper with that team, people will say, you can't help this man, he's incurable. And that's why I think the same team should play tomorrow. But that does not mean, it's like an opinion. It's my opinion today is not necessarily my opinion for the rest of my life. But if he picks that team again tomorrow, then I think that's the wisest course to follow.
Well, we will see. Tomorrow the New Year's resolution gets tested then, the away form. Yeah, in fact, yeah. Over the next week, going to go to Easter Road and Dens.
By the way, it's a huge week for him. I'm sure Philippe Clement would have obviously wished for a home game just to back that 3-0 victory up. See, going back to the team selection in the back four, and of course Yilmaz is playing right back and Sterling's playing centre half and Yefte left back, but there's a lot of pace. I know Proper's not that mobile, but there's a lot of pace in there, and what the Hibs offer going forward, a lot of pace. So I think that will be useful tomorrow at Easter Road. But maybe Hibs will put the ball into the box much more than Celtic did. I mean, you look at Celtic, they try and piece things together and play, try and score the perfect goal. I think with Caden on each wing, that ball will be coming in Rangers' box constantly. So they're going to have to defend a wee bit different, but it always helps when you've got pace in your back line.
You need what the managers like to call a signature result. And if David Gray, who has turned the corner from the night he got a 3-3 draw with Aberdeen at Easter Road, if he beats one of the Old Firm, then again it increases his stature in the eyes of the Hibs supporters.
It's all manager of the month dread.
Yeah,
you
true,
do not want the manager of the month, especially when you're playing Rangers. But I think that'll be a good game tomorrow. Difficult, but interesting to see Rangers starting 11. I sort of agree with you. I think that personnel wise, that's what he's got. Mm. He's got to go with it. And you've got to say they were excellent against Celtic. When have you ever seen Kuhn, Kyogo, Maeda, you know, Ida having such a poor game? Didn't even look like scoring at times. So yeah, if he can go and get that result tomorrow and kick on from there, then it'd be a good few days for him.
Well, maybe that's one for the phone-in a bit later on. You can tell us what your team would look like and your thoughts ahead of the trip to Easter Road tomorrow. In the meantime, we're asking you, what is the New Year's resolution for your team and for Scottish football as a whole for 2025? Get your tweets in. We've got the first half teaser running. We've got three big games in the Championship. The transfer window is open. There is so much to occupy us, even although it is a fairly reduced fixture card today, and even further reduced due to the weather. Fraser Wisher, he was up at my house this morning.
I feel for him.
He was picking up some equipment. He was getting ready. He was desperate to go to Morton Hamilton.
Flat tyre a few weeks ago.
And the weather's got the better of
3 days later, spare one.
He'll still be getting his invoice in for
Gordon, what time do you get paid right up to? Can you sign that at your house?
I think you have to have made it to the ground.
Totally agree with you.
That has to be
he's a union man. He'll have the lawyers onto that.
I can't believe a Kamarnock fan's not texted in and went, stop getting red cards.
Uh-huh. Good shout.
Great shout.
So Kamarnock's New Year's resolution,
stop getting people sent off. Yes.
Okay. Don't mind that. That's a good suggestion from Gordon DL. So he's looking out for you, Kilmarnock fans, even though he's a former Air United man. That is it. You're right, that's staring us in the face. That is a New Year's resolution. Stop the disciplinary issues. Although Derek McInnes feels hard done by on most of them.
Yeah, I think what they say, only two were merited. Aye, wee bit far off.
Where are they? 9 or 10? 9, 10? Where are they?
8th. Eighth.
No, many red cards. Nine or ten.
Eight, I think, as well.
Eight. I thought it was more than eight. Oh, right, okay, I went one quicker. Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy. Partick Thistle 1, Dunfermline 2. It's Megwa's own goal from a corner. It's actually deserved as well. So although Partick Thistle got level quickly and you would maybe expect them to kick on a bit, they have not, and they've fallen behind. They are claiming a foul, but this is a simple, straightforward, traditional 3 o'clock on a Saturday with no VAR. The ref is not having it, so Dunfermline do take the lead.
Well, not so good for Partick, but good for the fans watching it. Obviously a bit of early excitement in the new year. But Thistle really, at home, they've got to pick up all the points there, because they are moving in a promising direction. Top four, still got a long way to go. So a home defeat is not what's required.
How do you work it out with inter managers who just come in and, you know, got a decent result at home to Falkirk, 3-3. It was a great game. And then he's now away against Thistle, who at home in the league have been doing not too badly, and they've scored two and find themselves ahead. It's weird then when a manager gets a sack, somebody just comes in and seems easy.
There's someone in the Thistle.
It's not happening down at Somerset with a new manager coming in.
The Thistle backroom. He's not interim, is he? He's
correct.
Someone in the Thistle backroom has been booked for moaning after that goal. They felt it was a foul, but the goal does stand. So Megwa's own goal. Dunfermline have tried to give it to Aaron Comrie on their own social media, but certainly looks like an own goal. And Partick Thistle 1, Dunfermline 2. A good game there. Air United are 3-0 up. They were 3-0 up after about 25 minutes against Raith Rovers, which means only Andrew McLean is still waiting. Queen's Park 0, Livingston 0. So he might have the luxurious, or relatively luxurious, Hampden surroundings, but he's got no goals.
He'll be freezing.
Yeah,
in an empty Hampden.
The only good thing about that, he'll be sitting and listening to everyone chatting and talking, and you know, the insults that's getting thrown at the dugouts. Because I was there when Breakin was there, and I can never forget Wilson's.
There you are.
Oh my God.
I was actually
applauding the Breakin fans with their comments.
That was a long old afternoon.
Oh mate, that was good for me.
The Dundee Derby the other day was about as cold as I've experienced in a while, I have to say. Had the old heated body warmer on, had it fully charged, ready to go. On for the foot was about a life saver.
A stupid question. Do they actually make a difference to the work?
Yes, really good.
Because I thought about getting one. Aye, for walking the dog and that and going a bit of a hill.
I don't live the sort of outdoor life that you do, but I think particularly because at the games, when you're working, you're just sitting still. I don't know if you really need it out walking as such, or maybe you would if it was extremely cold. But I think when you're sitting still, just for all that time,
you got the heated socks, because you can get those.
I've got them as well.
Hold on, I was just going to say, we could invent the bottom half heated pressure button. Long johns, heated long johns.
They must exist somewhere.
No chance.
Surely. No,
I've never seen.
Heated trousers,
heated long johns.
Somebody in my family has been sarcastic. They got me a beanie hat with a light on it.
Were you walking to the train station after Super Scoreboard?
Yeah,
I've got one of those.
Oh,
what's sarcastic about that?
Of course you do.
They work.
I mean,
I take a dog at it, or if I'm going walking at night
with a torch hat on.
Aye,
seriously,
100%.
What's wrong with this guy?
Listen, if you don't want that,
give it to me.
I gave it to never get too many.
I gave it to my grandson.
I'll wear one back to front and one up front.
Give it to the grandson who lives in the Highlands. He'll need it there up in Malig.
I've got streetlights up there.
Look at the way he's looking
at
you. First of all, you go and get engaged whilst out hill walking. And now,
by the way,
now you're wearing
that hill walk. What did
it
start with?
Tell me you didn't have that on. Tell me you did not have a head torch on
just,
when you got down on
start.
One knee.
No, just to start, because we started in the dark. When through the fog.
Even I nearly disowned you there.
Yeah, when most people get engaged, they have something else on, but he's got a torch and a hat, you know what I mean?
Ridiculous. Luckily for us. Goal flashes with M&D Green Pharmacy. And it is a goal at hand then. It comes for Queen's Park. It's Jack Turner. It's actually a well-worked short corner. I think the shot hits the post initially. One of those that comes back off the keeper, so possibly, probably goes down as an own goal in the end. But nevertheless, Queen's Park 1, Livingston 0.
Well, a strange old season, Queen's Park, haven't they? You know, some weeks they'll pull out a result and others they'll just be miles off it. And they find themselves, well, a good bit back now. But 7 points behind Thistle. So maybe just a far stretch for the playoffs.
We've upset the torch hat brigade.
Support.
Remember Greg Wilde of former Rangers and Aberdeen fame, etc. He says, I've got one of the hats. They're good.
Brilliant. Yeah, there you go.
Sorry if we've offended.
Yeah.
Hat.
They're only good if
you're
going up a hill to get engaged.
I've got enough trouble being the old guy. I'd love
to see you walking down Kilbowie Road with a light on your forehead.
Can you imagine? There he goes. Here comes Roy Cropper.
Oh, you've been called worse, I have to say.
Oh, true.
Right, what we do, 1 minute warning in the teaser, Hugh, just remind us.
Tell me the last six managers to win the Scottish Championship.
Okay, go for it. 1 minute. If you're nearly there, just throw some other names at us, at Clyde SSB, and I'll round it off. I've got some New Year's resolutions for Scottish football coming in. RW says the safe and controlled use of pyrotechnics by the authorities should be a New Year's resolution.
Why? Why do you
for Scottish
this?
Football?
Looks
what good. The spectacle of the game.
Ah, nonsense.
Listen.
See, if it was controlled and you're sitting at Hampden, you're watching a cup final. I know the smoke and everything. I totally take that on board.
Yeah,
but
like when Aberdeen arranged one, didn't they, a couple of weeks ago?
I was going to say, how do you control it though? Put everybody with pyro into one section, or do you?
Various levels. I think that Aberdeen one is literally. It was just.
I was cob controlled on the track.
On the pitch.
Aye, that's fine.
I know in Scandinavia, I think maybe there are other parts of the world, maybe it has designated areas or it's different types. But I think just generally, what RW is getting at is an attempt at a solution where you can keep the spectacle for those who do like it. You might not, but clearly loads of people do.
So,
and then remove the
draw
the
pyro
safety.
Is it the colour? Is that what people like about it?
Well, I would say so, because I don't think you can be hypocritical about it, because there will be so many people who say, you know, you can't and you shouldn't, and that's fine. But we're all very quick to sort of use the images.
No, but I was going to say, if it's the colour, just get battery powered stuff. Is that?
Like a Coldplay concert.
Just like
if
everybody got a BD on.
Hold on.
Exactly. That's mass produce your hats.
If that's what's missing, if it's the colour and people are saying that really brings atmosphere, let's just get battery powered ones.
It's very safe and very controlled, you're right.
Cost a bit of cash, right enough.
So
but
every fan wears a light up hat like you two.
A different colour.
If you've got an odd seat number, you stand up and the even seat number sit down, and then you swap, and it would create like a sort
amazing.
Of
amazing.
It would be brilliant, wouldn't it?
I reckon you could get the Motherwell.
Well, here's the man to put it into.
I can lead that.
They get the award for 2024's best TIFO.
Oh, the Home Alone.
Macaulay
Culkin, like that?
Yeah,
that was a good one.
Yeah, that was
like
good.
That was the great thing about it. It had humour. It had intelligence about it, and It was a simple but effective and the best TIFO of 2024.
There you go. Well, boys, did you ever think you would hear Hugh Keevans congratulate someone on the best TIFO of 2024? Things you never thought you would hear. Clyde 1, Stirling Alway 0, Robbie Leach with the goal, Man City 2, West Ham 0, Erling Haaland with the goal. Let's round this off, shall we?
The first half teaser
with the scottishsun.co.uk/football for the best football news and opinion online.
The last six managers to win the Scottish Championship in descending order: Jim Goodwin at Dundee United, Gary Bohr at Dundee, Derek McInnes at Kilmarnock, Robbie Nielsen with Hearts, and showing off, Robbie Nielsen with Dundee United, Stephen Ferguson and Stuart Kettlewell at Ross County.
Nice.
And back in season 2017-2018, Jack Ross at St Mirren.
Brilliant. Well done if you got them all right. Congratulations to loads of you, but in particular Bailey, who was in third place, the old bronze medalist. Celtic FC trivia, showing that they know trivia about other clubs as well, in second. And Matondo, the winner of the first half teaser. We'll have a Who Am I after the intervals. We're getting to that stage of the day where the halftime whistles should be starting to approach. We'll give you some halftime reports, halftime score updates as well, and we're still looking for your New Year's resolutions for Scottish football as a whole and separately for your team. So tweet us at Clyde SSB.
What are you doing for your health kick when you're saying, I'm just thinking there, weight loss and that, you changing your diet?
I've got a good diet, Mark.
No, but
you don't get
fasting or this.
You don't get. I fast anyway. I don't eat to 12 o'clock, and that's why I've got.
So how is this a New Year's resolution if it's not just what you've been doing before?
Well,
it's changing. Just the alcohol.
Yeah, I'm not taking any red wine or beer or anything like that. I like a glass of red wine with steak.
Just straight vodka.
Yeah, just
please drink responsibly. It was just a joke. Montrose 0, Kelty 0. That Scott Allen's no daft, is he? Sent off, suspended, doesn't he, to go and play Montrose
away?
By the way,
some trek to Montrose
on the 4th of January.
Some trek, that one. You so just think it's beside Brecon or Forfern, just, oh, it's not, miles away.
Dunfermline have started time wasting at Partick Thistle. The goalkeeper has been booked for taking too long over a goal kick. We're nearly at the end of the first halves there. Still no other goals to tell you about. I think we used them all up early on at Somerset Park, and in particular for Ayr United. It's going to be a nice first half-time team talk for Barry Robson.
Well, we'll see. The team talk that Scott Brown gives has to focus on, right, don't stop now, keep going, add to the goals tally, and let's not have any belated drama.
I can't see Ruth Rovers coming back into that one, but I don't think Barry will get in and read the dressing room. He's still got to just put his stamp on it, try and sort one or two things about. Do the normal manager thing. Make sure he don't lose the second half.
I think it's an opportunity for him though, just to go in and make three subs right away.
Half time at Somerset, Roger Hanna.
Half time, Ayr United 3, Raith Rovers 0. Disastrous start to Rovers' reign for Barry Robson. But what a first half for George Oakley. A perfect hat trick, putting Ayr United in pole position for the 3 points here. He gives notice of his danger in the first minute, glancing ahead onto the roof of Kevin Dabrowski's net. But Rovers did not learn the lesson. Inside 2 minutes, they were a goal behind. Great move down the left hand side. Paddy Redding feeding the ball to Jamie Murphy. He knocked it into the 6-yard box, and there a close range finish from Oakley. It was 2-0 after 12 minutes. A header from a corner, Jay Henderson swinging it in from the left hand side, and that was after Dabrowski. It had been a terrific stop to push the ball behind. It was another great save for Dabrowski from Ben Dempsey's volley, and then Jamie Murphy hit the post as they were running right. Nick McAllister picking Murphy out, a lovely solo run to the edge of the box, and a shot that looked destined for the net all the way, just came back off the post to safety. Then Dabrowski again denying Murphy moments later, pushing the ball round the corner, round the post for a corner. But the third goal was delayed only until the set piece. The initial ball out was repelled out. It was delivered back to the back post. Conor McLennan headed it down, and there was Oakley inside the 6-yard box again to knock the loose ball under Dabrowski. Ayr have stayed on top. It could have been four before the break. What a half-time team talk for Barry Robson at the interval at Somerset Park. Ayr United 3, Raith Rovers 0.
We even had a late one of these at Firhill. Goal flashes
with M&D Green Pharmacy.
And it's Partick Thistle 1, Dunfermline 3. I don't think that'll go down too well for the home fans. It's an overhead kick from Kane. It bounced up, brilliant finish. And speaking of half-time team talks, Chris Doolan has to make his team feel his frustration at the break. Let's go to Hampden for Andrew McLean.
Queen's Park 1, Livingston 0, the half-time score. The hosts have probably edged it so far and have the goal to show for it as well. They started off as the brighter side. Their first opening, an in-swinging free kick from Dom Thomas. Three players threw themselves at it, but nobody could get the touch they wanted. A Livingston corner at the other end then dropped to the feet of Lewis Smith. He stabbed it towards goal, but the box was too crowded and it was blocked before it got to goal. Both teams really just feeling each other out at that stage. Stevie May with a shot from the edge of the box after 20 minutes. That was straight into the arms of Callum Ferry. Then just after the hour mark, a lovely one touch passing move by Queen's Park at the edge of the box. It made its way to Louis Longridge, left side of the box, but he shot into the side netting. Then a move straight off the training ground to get him the opener. A nicely worked short corner, getting the ball to Jack Turner. His shot from the edge of the box snuck in at the near post. It may well have hit that post and come off the back of goalkeeper Jerome Pryor, but they won't care. That was 1-0 to Queen's Park. Livingston with a bit of late pressure, a free kick and a couple of corners, but at the half-time score is Queen's Park 1, Livingston 0.
There we go, from the National Stadium, still awaiting David Friel. No, we're not. Firhill, how's it been, David?
It's been interesting. Half-time, Partick 1, Dunfermline 3. Loud boos a second ago, and I think it's fair to say, Gordon, this is better than Lanzarote for Dunfermline caretaker John McLaughlin. As we spoke about earlier, he cancelled a trip to the Canaries to take charge for this game, and his side have been absolutely outstanding. 1 point on the road all season, but they're well on their way to 3. Partick wearing that retro strip. I think Chris Doolan's going to have to give them an old-fashioned blast at the break after a really poor first-half display. But credit to Dunfermline, it took them just 4 minutes to open the scoring. What a goal it was. The ball fell to Lewis McCann in the angle of the box. His first-time volley curled past David Mitchell into the corner. Thistle were shocked, but got an equaliser within 2 minutes. Really good team move. Brian Graham involved, Scott Robinson involved. The ball worked out to Logan Chalmers on the right. His low shot was actually straight at Toby Ulawemi, but he couldn't keep it out. The ball deflected into the corner. You thought Partick would build in that, but it's Dunfermline who have had all the best chances. Aaron Comrade, one save, Ewan Otto hit the bar. They then took a deserved lead in 35 minutes. Matty Todd's corner turned into his own net by Kenai Omegwa. Thistle claimed a foul, but referee Stephen Clifton wasn't interested, and things got worse. McCann almost made it 3-1, and then Chris Kane did, with what a goal it was. Seconds before half-time, cross deflected up into the air. The veteran striker, overhead kick past the helpless David Mitchell. Partick all over the place, Dunfermline outstanding. Half-time, Partick 1, Dunfermline 3.
And we will return with a full round-up of the half-time scores next.
The winning team, all season long. This is Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Let's do a round-up of the half-time scores. There aren't many. No Premiership action today, of course. But in the Championship, it's sitting as things stand. Ayr United 3, Raith Rovers 0. Morton and Hamilton Accies postponed. Partick Thistle 1, Dunfermline 3. Queen's Park 1, Livingston 0. In League 1, Arbroath 1, Alloa 2. Inverness, Cali Thistle 1, Dumbarton 0. Montrose 0, Kelty 0. Queen of the South 1, Cove 0. Stenhousemuir 0, and an Athletic 0. Clyde 1, Stirling Albion 0 in League 2. East Fife 0, Forfar 0, Edinburgh City 1, Bonnyrigg Rose 0. In the English Premier League, if that is your type of thing, Spurs lost 2-1 at home to Newcastle earlier. That's finished at the break. Villa 0, Leicester 0, Bournemouth 0, Everton 0, Crystal Palace 0, Chelsea 1, Man City 2, West Ham 0, and Southampton 0, Brentford 1. We will be back with the second halves next.